You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in. It's Football Full Circle on a Wednesday afternoon. I am Scott Wetzel alongside George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens once again today as we take a look at the NFL for the next 60 minutes or so right here on Sports Grid Radio. What's going on, George? 72 hours later and the results remain the same. Kansas City is still Super Bowl champs. How you doing, brother? How are you tonight? Today?
Yeah, they didn't change them, did they? Kansas City.
No, they didn't change.
I just got to wait for the review, right, to make sure it's not overturned.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. It's shocking because I had Kansas City, so I'm still waiting where all my prop bets to kind of kick back and say, no, there was a mistake or this or that, or the game really didn't end, or Shanahan really didn't take the ball first. Or, you know, he kind of doubled down on stupidity yesterday. In fact, they held a press conference. Kind of weird. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen that many, I guess, postseason press conferences. I mean, I've seen my share, but, you know, nothing stands out. But it just, every time I look at a San Francisco 49ers press conference, it's always Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Maybe it's just because I'm noticing them more in the offseason when they're talking about moves and players and different things, so it makes sense. But they are joined at the hip, but it was weird yesterday. I spent 15, 20 minutes watching their postseason press conference, and it was Shanahan answering, George, all the GM questions, and it was John Lynch answering all, like, the head coach questions. I don't know if that's because he was the player and Shanahan wasn't. I'm not sure who's in control. They were asking about Steve Wilks, their defensive coordinator. Like, we'll get into here in a moment. I do think they like each other, but it was just kind of weird. Like, who's really making the decisions in San Francisco? So, but Shanahan doubled down and then, you know, said he didn't make a mistake, and basically he'd do the same thing all over again with that post, with the overtime, taking the ball first.
I thought the same thing as you was watching it, as far as, doubling down. You're going to try and defend this, huh? I mean, really defend it. You know, I never understand that, by the way. All right. I mean, listen, if the analytics in your department truly believe, they told you that, hey, you should take the ball second. You know, all right, fine. All right, I guess it's not you, it's your analytics department that's wrong. All right, because it just makes no sense, especially when you hear that Kansas City was not even going to give you the ball again. They were going to go for a two-pointer. So either they're going to win or lose you. There was no third possession going to happen. And yet you're still saying you made the right move. No, you didn't. All right, you just didn't. It's just, especially when you hear that, by the way, it just doesn't make sense. You score a touchdown, doesn't matter. The game is not over. Kansas City gets the ball back again. You score the field goal, you could lose. You don't score, hey, it's over. It just makes no sense here. And I do wonder, by the way, if they ever put this rule in the regular season, I would do one of the same thing, by the way. There'll be no third possessions because all teams are going to go for the two-point because they're going to know you. If you can march down the field and it's a you know, unless your defense is dominating throughout the whole game, it's a 7-7 tie going into overtime, they're all going to do the same thing over a two-point conversion. So I was surprised that, you know, they doubled down to the extent they did.
Yeah. You know, you're probably right about that. In that, I didn't give it much thought until you just said it there, but given the circumstances, I think you're right. I think every team would probably say, well, why are we going to go for one, give them the ball back, knowing if they score, they win the game. And they must have just scored, right? But otherwise, you wouldn't be tying the game. So they just moved down the field and scored a touchdown, and then it would have to be, right? So why would we give them the ball back again, knowing that now all they need is a field goal and they win the football game? So I do think most teams probably would be going for two in that spot. So I don't know where their analytical department is. You know, do they not think of that? Do they not put themselves in the other sides of the aisle and say, well, what would we be doing in that spot if we scored and then they scored? You know, like this analytical department is just for the birds. It really it bothers me to no end. It really does. You know, I think most people, George, would say if San Fran came back yesterday and said, you know what? Looking back on it, boy, we probably effed up. We really probably should have, you know, deferred and got the ball second. Thinking about it now, a little bit more time to think about it. We did think about it, but now looking back, yeah, we probably should have. I think people would respect that. You know, they wouldn't be happy, but at least, you know, someone admits guilt or blame or fault. It's like, okay, you know what? It is what it is. You got to move on. But when you double down on stupidity, like yesterday, I'm listening to these two clowns both tell me about how one of the reasons why they took the ball first is because their defense was gassed. Oh, it was a long play. You know, Kansas City just got done doing on a long 11-play drive, and our defense was gassed. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute now. You scored with a minute 54 left. Kansas City had the ball for less than 2 minutes. How gassed can your defense be? I know it's the end of the game, but not only did Kansas City score in a minute and change, so it wasn't that long like your defense was on the field, they also had to kick off. So I know, you know, San Francisco just took a knee, but point being, they had to kick off, so your defense gets rest. Your offense had to go out there and take a knee. Your defense gets rest. We had the 5 minutes of commercials in between the overtime and then the regulation, so that's, you know, defense gets more rest. I mean, your defense legitimately probably got a good 10 minutes rest. I mean, how pooped are they? It's the Super Bowl, for goodness sakes, that you got to worry about them not being able to perform, and then you didn't use any timeouts on that drive. You had a timeout. You could have, you know, if you thought your defense was getting torched there in the final drive, why not call a timeout? I thought they really should have called the timeout before the touchdown. I knew they were going to score. When Mahomes went off on that scramble, I said, this game is over. So, but the point is, when you keep on trying to defend the stupid move, that's when I say, all right, enough. And, you know, I can't handle that. You want to say you made a mistake? Then, okay, at least you admitted you made a mistake.
I'm with you here about the mistake part. We are a forgiving society, right? If you admit it, okay. They admitted it, you know, and maybe not to put the words you put it, by the way, you know, we screwed up. Just not defend it as hard, you know, and admit, you know, in hindsight.
Well, it was, George, they made it seem like Kansas City just went on this 7.5 minute, 11 play drive, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust down the field they went. And our defense was getting, you know, exhausted out there. They got the ball back with a minute 54 left and they handed you the ball back with 10 seconds left. Don't tell me in a minute 45 or so that your defense can't get back out there after a 10 minute rest. I wish some bird brain in the media would have pointed that out to these guys, because that was one of the reasons they said we took the ball first, because our defense was so tired.
But even if you just say, Scott, you know, well, you know, in hindsight, now realizing that they weren't going to give the ball back to us, we probably should have taken it first. But we did, you know, the analytics didn't take that to effect. Just like that. Well, you're not blaming your analytics. You really, oh, there was another variable in there that we didn't consider here. You know, then, you know, everything's fine. Okay, you sort of admit it, then you move on. It sort of reminds me like the baseball steroid guys. All right, they all defend. Right. Oh, no, I didn't do it. If you just would admit it, it's sort of like Giambi and Pettit did. It's just, you know, people are still mad at you, but they're not. It's not the hatred, you know, that Barry Bonds got, or Ryan Braun, when his guys, no, I didn't do it. Oh, yes, I did, you know, at the end, that sort of thing. So I think it would have made more sense, you know, to say in the end, okay, you know, my bad. We didn't realize that, you know, they were going to give the ball back, that sort of thing. It didn't work out. But to just double down was nuts.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy. And then who makes the call on the defensive coordinator? Really, Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch? We'll talk about that and then some futures as well. Football full circle on a Wednesday. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is football full circle here on a Wednesday with yours truly, Scott Wetzel, along with George Kurtz. We got the Kyle Shanahan stuff, Kelce taking the blame, KC re-ups with Spags. Will San Fran do the same with Steve Wilks? And what exactly does a run game coordinator do? We'll get to it all and look at some prop numbers for next year as well here on a football full circle Wednesday. So just discussing before the break the San Francisco 49ers situation. They held a press conference yesterday. John Lynch, their GM, and the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, basically asking, you know, season-ending questions, really more toward the game, a couple of future questions as far as some of the players they need to have. And, you know, they quickly shut that down, saying we just gotten into the evaluation process, which is fair. But, you know, one of the things that was brought up, George, was the defense. And we had Nick Bosa come out and say that his team basically wasn't 100% prepared to face, you know, one Pat Mahomes, which I don't get. His exact quote: "The zone read got us a couple of times. We could have been, we could have been more prepared there. We have to know in crucial situations who's going to have the ball, and obviously it's him. He had a scramble down the middle on that last drive. So, I mean, listen, you're facing Patrick Mahomes. He's at this point a two-time, now three, obviously Super Bowl champ. He's played 1,000 games. If you don't know Patrick Mahomes at this point, Mr. Bosa, has the ability to scramble, then, you know, hello, where have you been the last 5-6 years? You know, to throw poor Steve Wilks under the bus because they had a zone read. You know, Kansas City's been having a zone read forever, for goodness sakes. I mean, I don't know why he made a point of saying that, but it goes back to my original notion. All right, that falls on the defensive coordinator, right? Steve Wilks, you know. So now the story is coming out saying he might be in trouble. Niners defense did kind of falter down the stretch, did not look good in this postseason, you know, giving up a ton of points to Green Bay and then Detroit and now Kansas City. So who makes the call on that? Is that the, you know, they asked Kyle Shanahan, you know, do you expect Wilks and all the other coaches to be back? And he said yes. Lynch didn't flinch when he answered that, but I don't know who would make the, is the head coach making a call on that? Is the GM, do you think, making a call on whether Wilks returns?
In this case, I would think Shanahan has a lot of say here. Yeah, I think if he told a rookie head coach or a coach with no cachet, then it'll be the GM. Yeah, be all the GM here, but I think Shanahan, you know, listen. If they wanted to fire Shanahan, he'd get another job in a heartbeat. No matter, I don't care what you want to say about how he is. He coaches in big games. A lot of teams would want him. So he has cachet here. They're not going to fire one of his coaches here. That being said, this is Scott. We know how it works. Someone's got to take the blame. And Wilks could be an easy scapegoat here because what did you say during your little speech there? That defense, it wasn't just the Super Bowl that it faltered. It faltered down the stretch big time. This defense was not what it was for the first two-thirds of the season, three-quarters. You had all sorts of problems in the playoffs, and that went at the end of the regular season, too. Remember the Baltimore game at home Christmas night was a disaster. So they had all sorts of issues here. So it may not be a scapegoat. Maybe they are concerned what happened here. What happened here? Why wasn't our defense good? Why when we acquired Young from the Commanders? He wasn't very good with us. Wasn't that player at all. I know he had a sack in the Super Bowl, but over that, he made very little noise here. So I think this could be the, you know, once again, someone that's got to take the blame. It's the way this country works. You know, we got to axe somebody. Oh, we're going to throw it on somebody. So it wouldn't shock me if he could be in a little bit of trouble. That being said, you know, you went to the Super Bowl, and all the other coaches are gone, right? I mean, are you going to hire Rex Ryan? Is that where we're going here? I don't see that happening. You know, you're going to go Rivera? You know, the guys at Dallas interviewed that didn't get the job? So I think he survives here, but I think this is just a sort of a shot across the bow. And by the way, does Shanahan even want to get rid of him? Does Lynch even want to get rid of him? Or once again, they just throw in some mud against the wall and see what sticks here.
Yeah. You know, and he lost his maybe best defensive player, too, you know, for most of the game. And in a strange sort of way, I know this is going to sound goofy, but this does happen. in divisions where there are other surprise teams, and you know, the team says, well, you know, the Houston Texans were a surprise, so how come we weren't the surprise team? It just kind of shows it can be done. So when you get to Miko Ryans, George, the former defensive coordinator, doing so well with the Houston Texans, oh, by the way, it puts more pressure, right, on Wilkes to really kind of take that torch and be just as good as they were last year, and really they weren't. I don't think he did a horrible job, but knowing how well Ryans did in Houston and how well he did with San Francisco, it just kind of throws more wood on the fire for Steve Wilkes maybe being out. So, but yeah, I thought that was just interesting. You know, I don't know. I would think the head coach, I mean, ultimately, I guess it's the GM, right? He's above the head coach, but you know, how much influence, the question should be, how much the head coach has it. And I think you're right about Shanahan. He probably has a whole heck of a lot. You know, I'm thinking if he says, this is my guy, I want him here, then they won't fire him. And vice versa. If they say, you know, get him out of here, I think, you know, Lynch probably would say, okay, I'll fire him then. So do you think he deserves to be fired? Is it that low? Do we bring in a new guy or just give him another year? Been in the league a long time, veteran head coach, right? Former Arizona Cardinals head coach. I think for one season, that was a disaster.
No, I don't think he deserves to be fired, by the way. You know, sometimes we sort of forget. Sometimes you lose because the other team just makes plays. You know, they're getting paid, too. They're professionals, too. So, you know, you're not always going to be able to blame somebody for a loss here. And listen, the zone read stuff, yeah, it's weird. You weren't prepared. I mean, that's bad when you say something. When we use the word weren't prepared, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst phrases you can use for a coach, right? Weren't prepared. Never a good thing, which is why I'm concerned here, Dwight. But I don't think he deserves to be. Once again, you said it there. All right. Mahomes may not be Lamar Jackson, but we all know he can run. You know, so that should have caught you off guard here. You know, I know I was on his over prop for the rushing yardage here. Now, maybe not run to that extent, but then again, he had lanes all over the place. All right, and you were putting pressure on him. Let's not forget that you were putting pressure on him. Your defense did really well. And another great point you made up, they lost what might be their best defender for most of the game. You know, and that's a big loss. Remember, Travis Kelce in the first half had one catch for 1 yard. Yeah. All of a sudden you lose your best defender and he goes off in the second half. I think we forget about that as well.
Couple things here before we get to Kansas City. Again, it's just a little pet peeve, you know. Shanahan yesterday says he hasn't watched game film yet. Instead, went home, watched Netflix's Griselda, which I'm not sure what that is, but okay, with his family to distract himself from the game. I find that hard to believe. I really do. Not in that I could understand someone just, you know what, I got to shut it down. But when you do something for basically 20 straight weeks, right, outside of the bye, the two byes that they had, one in the regular season, one in the first round of the playoffs. What these coaches do, especially road games, is they're watching game films on the flight back to San Francisco in this case. You know, they don't even wait until Monday. They're literally watching game films Sunday on the plane, then they watch it Sunday night, and then Monday, and then they go over it with their team. I just find that weird that if I'm doing something for 20 straight weeks, I don't have enough interest to see where things went wrong. I always tell my wife, you know, when she's taking pictures, oh, look at this picture or look at this film I took. I said, I don't need to look at it. I was there. I lived it, right? So I do understand that aspect of it, George. Like, but when you analyze things for 20 straight weeks, you don't have the drive to put that game film into your computer and say, man, what happened? Remember, it was third down. Where was this play? Where was that play? Why did, you know, I find that very weird that he wouldn't watch film. Even the Super Bowl.
I think this is coach speak. All right, that maybe he didn't watch what is technically game film, but he did watch it, that sort of thing, to avoid answering the question. He just didn't want to deal
maybe
with the question. They lie about this stuff all right. The time. Oh, no, I didn't talk to this person yet. Well, maybe not that person, but you knew about it from another person anyway. This sort of thing. I think they're just trying to avoid the question.
Yeah, maybe. It's a good shutdown question, right? But sorry, I didn't watch game film. I mean, there's not much you can then ask after that, so... who's going to be the number one team and the number one game next year? We'll take a look at Kansas City's schedule, figure out who's going to open up the 24 season next on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle on this Wednesday, 25 past the hour. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz in for Ben Stevens today as we take a look at the schedules for next year, George. And always interesting. I don't know what the exact date is out yet, but generally, you know, I think every single time, as a matter of fact, we've had the Super Bowl champ. So I'm guessing the opening game of the 2024-25 season is going to be Kansas City. I'm assuming it's going to be a home game. There is one road game they could, but they generally like to have the Super Bowl champs open up at home. The one road game that they could is, believe it or not, they do play San Francisco next year. So the schedule's not out, but who they play is out. We've known that for a little while. So we could try to dissect which is going to be the 24-25 season opening game. Could they have a rematch against San Fran? I mean, that's a major game. I don't know if they would necessarily want to use up one of their bullets, because no matter who they play, they can play Topeka High, right? It's going to be an opening game of the NFL season. People are going to watch that. So I don't think they would put Kansas City on the road, and I don't think they would use that bullet when they don't necessarily have to. So if you have the schedule in front of you, there's, to me, four games, and I think I know the game. I think there's a perfect storm for one of the games, which is a little bit of a surprise, but I'll give you the game that I think they would consider. Tampa Bay at home, no. Saints at home, no. They play the Cincinnati Bengals at home. Kansas City, Cincinnati, not bad. They play the Baltimore Ravens at home. Kansas City, Baltimore, rematch AFC Championship. Lamar Jackson, not bad. Raiders, I don't think, even though it's a rivalry. Denver, you know, last year maybe, but this year, no. And then there's the last one, which I got a feeling is going to be the one. They also play Buffalo on the road, but I don't think they would open up again on the road. But to me, George, the perfect storm, the Los Angeles Chargers. And you may say, why? Right? The Chargers, they stink, Scott. Yeah, but it's still the Chargers. It's still Justin Herbert. And you have really one bullet in the Chargers chamber. Do you want to waste that 4 o'clock Denver versus Chargers game, or do you want to bill Patrick Mahomes, defending Super Bowl champs, and the Jim Harbaugh debut as head coach of the Chargers? I think that would bring a lot of fannies. Like you said, when they play the Chargers week 2, 3, 4, all the Harbaugh's back stuff, that's all gone. You got one shot at that. I think that's going to be your opening game next year. Kansas City at home against the Chargers. What do you think?
You know, it's funny. I talked with Gabe Renzi about this on Rage a couple of days ago.
He's stealing my material. He's always stealing my material. What is it going on with him?
I think actually I brought it back. Or I brought it up to him, by the way, not okay. The other way around. It's going to be a home game. All right, so you can throw all the road games. Not going to be. They're not going to the road. They're the champions. They're opening up at home on that Thursday. Now, my first thought was when trying to think about this was, well, it's probably going to be an AFC versus an FC, right? They're going to want to do that for each league. Then, like, oh, no, probably not. Because they don't have to, because Philadelphia is going to open the Friday night game this year. So they can do an AFC versus AFC on Thursday and then do NFC versus NFC on Friday. Philadelphia play an NFC team, and everyone's happy here. And then I did the same thing as you did. You're going through the breakdown here. You have who are the home games here? And I got to tell you, I came to the same conclusion you came. For the same exact reason. All right, I think there's only two choices here. All right, either you're doing the rematch versus Baltimore, which I do not mind, by the way, do not mind at all. You know, I'll take Kansas City Baltimore opening Thursday night game. All right, I'll take that all day long, or you're going with the Harbaugh. You know, that he's back in the NFL, division game, you know, the Los Angeles Chargers, blah, blah, blah. My only thing about that, maybe they don't want to do a divisional game as an opening Thursday night. I don't know why. I'm just throwing out reasons why they wouldn't here. But I think it's either the Chargers or Baltimore. You know, It's not going to be, Atlanta. You know, that's not going to happen or something like that. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say yes, that it'll either be one of those two teams. And I'm still leaning Harbaugh, but like I said, I wouldn't mind if it's the Ravens.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect storm, right? You have the Chargers pretty well-known team. You have West Coast. You want to get West Coast perhaps involved. And you, like I said, really the main thing is you have that one shot at glory with Harbaugh, right? You know, week number two, three, four, okay, he's back, whatever, fine and dandy. It's that first game that you want to build up. And if they have the Chargers, you know, if they don't have the Chargers play in this game, then they're going to play, you know, more than likely. You know, I suppose they could play a Sunday night. Maybe NBC would take them for the Sunday night game. But, you know, more than likely they're just going to be, you know, at home 4 o'clock against the Denver Broncos or you know, pick another team. No big deal. And they're just not going to use that bullet. So I do think that that's going to be the game with everything is said and done. You know, like you said, I don't think they would go on the road. You could throw in at Buffalo or at San Francisco. You know, there's a lot of headline games you really could come up with, but to me, those are the ones, you know, the Cincinnati, Baltimore, and the Chargers, and I think ultimately it will be the Chargers. So what do you think of Harbaugh? Is he going to perform magic? Is he taking the money? Did he get out of town just to get out of town, you know, before all the NCAA stuff comes down? I think he's going to do well. You know, he's done well everywhere else. Doesn't necessarily mean he'll do it with the Chargers, but to me, there's no reason. Like, the Chargers, to me, were a good team. It was just Brandon Staley. You know, he held them back. It's not because the Chargers weren't any good. So I actually think he'll do a good job there. All right. Yeah, I think we lost George. I was going to say, we either lost George or we lost me. One of the two. Or my comment was back. So dumbfounding that. No, there he is. There he is.
There we go. As for your question, yes. By the way, I think he's going to do a good job, yes. I think he'll be fine. Do I think he's going to challenge the Chiefs next year? No, I don't think he's going to challenge the division, but you know, it wouldn't shock me either. Do I think they'll go for a wild card spot? Listen, 7 teams make it, right? I mean, you got what? Dolphins, Bills, all those teams in the north there. Someone's got to win the south and maybe another wild card. I mean, it won't be easy. It won't be easy. But right now, I think they're the second best team in that division. So that's good news, right? My only question, it was funny. My only question ever with Harbaugh coming back to the NFL, that's great. You know, but why would you want to go in a division with Mahomes?
Yeah.
And of all the teams you could have signed for, why Mahomes? You may finish no matter how good you are. Finish second best to this guy forever. You know, and the Super Bowl certainly didn't make that any easier. He showed what he can do here, even on a lesser team. I don't think about it, Scott. I mean, the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl, and this is probably the worst team they've had in a while. Defense is very good, but the offense was not. And you got to think they'll fix that somewhat next year. Yeah, I know Chris Jones is a free agent, so is Snead, and we'll see what's going to happen here. But I think they'll fix the problems. You know, so like I said, if I'm horrible, boy, maybe I would have rather gone to Atlanta. You know, and
that's
dealt with that.
You know, and I tell you, the other thing also I was thinking about yesterday is no matter how bad Kansas City will play next year, if they do play bad, you know, we can't even say, well, you know what, they're not going to win the division, so they're going to have to win 3 playoff games on the road, which they didn't do this year. They only won the 2, but you know, they did win too. Like, even if Kansas City, even if the Chargers are great or Denver surprises or the Raiders and Kansas City ends up as a wild card team and they're 11-6, 10-7, right? You're just limping their way into the postseason. It's always going to be Mahomes. You know, you're right. I think this year's offense was, you know, you can make an argument the worst that they've had, and maybe they're one of the worst in you know, the NFL. I just think their offense was putrid this year. And their point totals and everything else show that, reflect that. But they still found a way to win. And they still won in Buffalo, you know, freezing temperatures. They still won in Baltimore. So, you know, what obstacle is too much for them to overcome? I don't know if there really is one. Even if they, like I said, go 10-7 and finish as a wild card team and have to win 3 wins on the road, you know, could they win in Baltimore again? Why not? Could they win in Buffalo again? Why not? You know, could they beat Miami? They beat them twice this past season. Why not? You know, so I don't know if there's ever going to be a team where we say, okay, you know what, unless they just don't make the playoffs. Otherwise, to me, it's like it's Kansas City. They can do it, no matter how bad they may play in the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, I thought what happened this year was very impressive with them. Very impressive. Because they sort of reminded me of the Patriots at the end of the dynasty, right? Good defense. The offense was so-so, and the quarterback just almost wills you to win. Just wills you to win. So a very impressive job for Mahomes and Andy Reid. Probably more impressive than the other Super Bowls they've won. Yeah, so It's why I wouldn't bet against them anymore. I bet against them against Buffalo, ate it. Against them against Ravens, ate it. I think I said it with you, said it. I'm not betting against Mahomes anymore. You're not going to make money doing that. You're just not. So, yeah, finally went back to Kansas City. He is that good. He makes people around him better. You know, and he makes the big plays when he has to. You know, what was that stat we saw yesterday? He's 7-for-7 when, under a minute left and you needed a game-tying touchdown or whatever it was. You know, 7-for-7, where he's done it 7 times, where nobody else, Brady's 4-of-7, something like that. So just impressive what Mahomes wills you to win. Hey, this brings me back. If I'm Harbaugh, I'm not dealing with this. Not when I had so many other choices.
Yeah. Victory parade set for today, probably going on as we speak, believe it or not. So a couple of little quickies here before we go to some props. Anthony Lynn joining Washington as the teams that he's spent with the assistant head coach, running backs coach with San Francisco. So here's one guy they're losing already. Joining Washington, George, as the team's run game coordinator. Now, I've heard that label before, but just what is a run game coordinator?
I don't know. Another big-time coach, another reason to get another coach in there. Passing game coordinator, run game coordinator. Isn't that what an offensive coordinator is? I guess it's one step below that.
That's what I thought. You know, is the offensive coordinator not controlling the running game? He's only controlling the passing game? I mean, they have so many coaches. Man, it is amazing. Football full circle continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Football full circle on a... it feels like a Friday. I was about to say on a Friday, football Friday. No, on a Wednesday, hump day here on Sports Grid Radio. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz, up until 1 p.m. Eastern time, talking a little football NFL-wise. All right, so we touched on this a little bit, George, to close out yesterday's show. You know, listen, it does take a lot for me to put down money in February for something I'm really not going to be able to cash until 12 months later, next February, right? So, but they had the Super Bowl 25 odds out, so. Oh, yeah, why not? Let's just take a peek. And there were a couple of teams that, you know, okay, I don't think these numbers will be the same, you know, anywhere close to being the same, you know, come September when the season begins. And that's kind of my, you know, line in the sand, right? If I'm going to put it down in February 2023, not be able to cash until February 2024, we're going to put this down and not be able to cash until February 2025, then it's got to have some special, special value here. So there are a couple of teams that I think, you know, we mentioned real quickly yesterday, Pittsburgh, 100-1. Now, you know, they're the fourth worst, actually tied for the third worst choice when you consider four teams at 1,500 and then one team at the Carolina at 2,500-1, 250-1. So, I mean, I don't know. I got a possible playoff team. I got a head coach that's never had a losing season. I do think they're going to go into this offseason saying we have to upgrade our quarterback position. I just don't believe that they're going to go into next season with Kenny Pickett again. He was so bad. So if they make a quarterback change and, you know, and the Kirk Cousins, I'm not a big Justin Fields guy, but, you know, he is out there. I could see Pittsburgh dropping way down from 100-1, you know, down to 50-1, 40-1, depending on what happens with the draft and everything. And then the other one, you know, Cleveland at 45-1 with their defense, you know, and that's the formula as we touched on yesterday. I think it's going to be a defensive minded team that's going to have the best chance to upset Kansas City. So give me the Browns and their defense. Get Deshaun Watson back. Get him in camp again. Year number really two. Hasn't had a full season for various reasons with Cleveland. But I think they're in a dangerous position at 45-1. I could see that number dropping down to maybe 25-1 by the time the season starts.
And that's the rub, right? Because I pretty much agree on everything you said, by the way. I don't like before a season starts, putting future bets for that you're going to get paid 5 months from now, more or less a year from now. It's a little, I mean, how much money do you want in future bets? It's really a different kind of conversation, but how much of your bankroll do you want to put on future bets? You know, and so it's a long ways away. That being said, as we discussed yesterday, Your price is going to get cut down. You might be saying right now, "Oh, I'm Pittsburgh, they're not going to do it because Pickett's the quarterback. You know, Mason Rudolph is terrible." That's not going to happen. You know, I think they are going to have a great quarterback. I don't think they have a choice here. We've seen what Tomlin can do when he doesn't have a quarterback. Right? He still gets to the playoffs here. My problem with Pittsburgh is going to be this. It doesn't matter what they do. That division's not changing. You know, that's a problem. I mean, Burrow will be back with Cincinnati. You know, Baltimore's not going anywhere, regardless of whether or not they can play in the playoffs. You know, they're a great regular season game. Cleveland, you know, that's a problem. It's just a problem. You know, they literally could be sort of similar to this year. They could be above 500 team, but not make the playoffs because you're in that division. You're going to be in last place in that division because all those teams are arguably better than you. You know, so it's my problem. It's why I won't pick Pittsburgh. Even at 101, I wouldn't pick Pittsburgh. Cleveland, I think it's a better choice. Obviously, not getting the same odds here, but we know they're there. We know they're a good team. My issue with them is going to be, well, they're not going to change quarterback, and I have issues with Deshaun Watson. He's not that player he used to be. You know, he's just not. It's 2 years now. I'll give him off. You forgive him for the suspension first year, but last year it looked all that much better.
Yeah, I tell you, it's like The Godfather 2 with this next team for me, you know, where, you know, Pacheco's, what's his face, Pacino is in the kitchen there, and he's like, you know, I want to get out, they keep on drawing me back in, right? That's the New Orleans Saints to me, you know? I took a flyer on them this past year to get to the Super Bowl. I thought with Derek Carr going there and Kamara not really getting in that much trouble, even though he probably should have gotten more, Thomas is healthy and this and that, I thought they were going to be spectacular and end up not even making the playoffs, right? So I'm ready to write them off, George. And then there they are again, 75-1, you know, and nothing really has changed, which is good and bad. You know, the good is that the division still sucks, right? No one's really emerged. Even Tampa Bay, you know, they really going to duplicate what they did last year? I don't know. It's there for the taking, and you get them in there with that defense being that good and the weapons they have on offense, and it's just like 75-1, but is Derek Carr ever really going to be anything more than a mediocre quarterback? I don't know, but like I said, it's 75-1. That's a tempting price. I don't know if that'll change, though, that much. That's the only thing with that one, but I do like it at 75-1.
Someone who lost a ticket on New Orleans Women's Division this year, still annoying there. I still can't believe they didn't win that division. Carr probably gets too much grief. You know, that being said, he's an average quarterback. That's all he is. He's an average quarterback. You know, maybe with some upside, but you know, he's average to you. If you're hoping to win because of Carr, well, then you got problems, right? It's not going to happen. He's somebody who can help you win, but he's not going to make you win. He needs a supporting cast. You know, so that's my issues with Carr. I think they have some other problems on that team as well. I don't mind it, that being said, because the division is bad, but I think I might look to Atlanta more.
That's where I was going to go next.
Yeah, I like their future, Scott.
Put Kirk Cousins on the Atlanta Falcons. Like, that is one team that has said, I've heard Arthur Blank enough times say, we need to upgrade our quarterback position. So they are not going into next year with Desmond Ridder as their starting quarterback. So who's out there? I'm not a big Justin Fields fan, so I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan either, but let's put Kirk Cousins on the Atlanta Falcons. 50-1 right now. They make an announcement they're signing Kirk Cousins. They won't be 50-1. Whereas the Saints, I don't think they're changing. It's Derek Carr. That's why I say I think those odds will remain the same. But I could see the Atlanta Falcons going to get Kirk Cousins, free agent, and having him on that team. Now all of a sudden they're the class of that division, and now they drop from 50, I would think, to, you know, probably 30, 35 or so to one. It would be a drastic, drastic drop, but I think it would be a good 15-point drop if they got Cousins.
I love this, all right, because once again, I agree. They're going to have a new quarterback, and I think Cousins will certainly be in play here. And even if it's Justin Fields, by the way, I'm happy with that too. I think you also have to say, Scott, who won't be calling the plays next year? Arthur Smith.
Yeah, Arthur Smith.
They will use their top players, all right? I think once again, this will make Drake London better. So once again, we're saying they're going to get a different quarterback here. I guess Kyle Pitts can't be any worse, although the tight ends, when you put them together, were great. You know, but I like this a lot here. I mean, a lot. You know, so yeah, I'm with you here. I, I, I think Atlanta could be a surprise team. I think right now, if I was going to bet on a division winner, it would be Atlanta. And I would bet Atlanta, because I think they will make a move at quarterback. Whether it's Cousins, whether it's Fields, somebody else we don't know about. I like this move a lot. The defense is better than we give it credit for. They have offensive weapons. Just need to learn how to use them, get a real quarterback in there, and I'll like this team a whole lot.
How about Arizona? Again, you know, I'm throwing these names out there, but these quarterbacks I don't like, but they entice you. Again, it's Al Pacino. They draw me back in, you know, 75-1. You know, they were a 500 football team, basically, with Kyler Murray as their quarterback, and they had some nice wins. You know, winning at Pittsburgh, you know, stands out. I mean, so they played a lot better, obviously, with Kyler Murray. So much so where they're going to overtake the Rams and the 49ers, I don't know. But at 75-1, I might throw a flyer on them to be one of the surprise teams. One of these last place teams, it happens every year, George. One of these, at least one, ends up being in first place and makes a serious surprise run. So maybe it's the Arizona Cardinals next year.
I mean, I would doubt that. I think they'll be better. Yeah, and they've got some draft picks, right? We'll see what they do with those, too, especially if they decide to trade down. So, problem is, once again, you're dealing with San Fran. I don't see what happened. You're not winning the division. Seattle's still a decent team. Rams, decent team. They both may be better than decent. So, once again, you got an uphill climb here in your own division before I start worrying about you. They did upset some teams last year, right? They beat Philadelphia late. They beat Dallas early. You know, so they're better than record said they were. I do believe that, but uphill climb for them. I'm not quite going to put them there yet. Give me a year. I think they need another year. Give me 25.
It's amazing. Even Tampa Bay is 75-1. You look at all these playoff teams or would-be playoff teams, and you're getting, you know, really good prices on some of this stuff. It doesn't mean you're going to cash your ticket, but even the Giants at 150-1. This was a playoff team. This was a second-round playoff team from 2 years ago. You know, they lose their quarterback, who I'm not a fan of, so this past season was a complete disaster. They do lose their defensive coordinator because seemingly Brian Daboll can't get along with anybody. So, but at 150-1, again, is that going to change? Yeah, probably. I think these numbers will come down a little bit. You know, that might be one where I'd say, all right, you know what? For $10 right now, forget about $100. Even if you're a $100 player, you put $10 on that, you're looking at winning $1,500 versus waiting until September and the Giants make some moves and they go get some offensive weapons like I think they will do. And now all of a sudden they're back, you know, maybe being a playoff contending team, maybe not a Super Bowl winning team, but I look at these as get me into the second round of the playoffs. And now I can start hedging a little bit. That's kind of my goal with some of these flyer teams, not necessarily win it all, but give it a second round and I'll start hedging. That 150-1 is not a bad little number to hedge against.
Problem of the Giants is that they can't beat Dallas and Philadelphia, right? They just can't do it. You know, they're just not ready to compete with those teams. We know those teams aren't elite of elite. You know, I think the Giants making the playoffs in Daboll's first year was sort of everything went right for them. You know, you played the right teams. You won some games you shouldn't have won. They used Daniel Jones well as far as his running ability here. But now you've seen when he runs, he gets hurt. You know, so there's a lot of the offensive line's bad. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on this Giants team. So, no, I'm not. Everything I've seen says no. I think they'll be better. Once again, everything went wrong. As well as everything went in Daboll's first year, everything went wrong this year, right, this past season. So I think they'll be better maybe somewhere in between. But until you prove to me that you have a chance to beat the Cowboys and Eagles, which when was the last time they did either one of that? No, that's going to be hard for me to trust this team.
Yeah. You know what's weird? I love the looking for some of this stuff, right? So let's use the Giants since we're talking about the Giants, right? So you may say, Scott, 151, that's not enough. You know, if you could put them in a parlay on FanDuel, New York Giants to win the Super Bowl, Winnipeg Jets tonight to beat San Jose. They're not losing to San Jose, right? And all of a sudden, that 150-1 goes to 182-1. Now, if we could throw in, you know, maybe one more goofy game, you know, I love playing unders in Notre Dame college basketball games. Now, all of a sudden, you throw that in there And that 150-1 goes to 350-1. Now you have a number you can start hedging with. That's what I like to do. A bet in February of 2024 correlated with a bet in February of 2025. Huh? You got to love these internet sites. Back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle, closing up shop here on a Wednesday. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz. You know, I know it's goofy, George, and like I said, my first inclination is to not bet these Super Bowl props right now, right? What's the point? But I will tell you, you know, that's not a bad way to bump up the odds. You know, you don't necessarily have to do it today. You know, you could do it any other day, but you know, you're a hockey guy. You know, are the Winnipeg Jets going to lose to the San Jose Sharks at home tonight? I mean, and forget about it. I won't even lay the minus 465. I'll go with Winnipeg at -3 to 1 to win in regulation. And are the Connecticut Huskies, the number one team in the nation, really going to lose to the Paul? What a literally the worst team. They already fired their head coach. Where they got three wins this year. Are they going to lose to the Paul? No. Now you put those in with the Super Bowl parlay, and you throw in, we'll talk about one of the teams, Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, Pittsburgh Steelers go from 100-1 to 135-1. You know, the Giants go from 150-1 to 202-1. Now, you know, you're almost, dare I say, two free bets. You're increasing your odds quite a bit. And like, okay, do I want 200-1 with the Giants or 150? I'll take the 200. You know, do I want 135, 140 or so with Pittsburgh or 100? I might as well take the 140. You know, I think that's a halfway decent go at this, you know, over the next couple of weeks.
I don't have any patience, by the way. I'm not someone who likes to, I don't like waiting a day or two for a second half of a parlay. All right, more or less weeks, months, yeah, that's not happening.
Year.
I just can't do it. I hate it.
I agree. I'm just saying, if you were inclined to do it now, throw in these couple of free automatic winners and bump your number up, you know, just a little bit more. And you'll appreciate that next year when it comes hedging time. And now you're hedging, you know, with 200-1 rather than 150-1. That's all. So good job, George. As always, my friend, have fun the rest of the week. I'm sure we'll do it again. Talk to you on In-Game Live later on tonight. I'm sure this week as well. Be good.
Be good.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.